Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Save Your Breast. I am PC, Dr. Savalia's office manager and surgical consultant, and today is with Dr. Savalia, of course. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
So we've talked a lot about oncoplastic breast reconstruction and what it is, but I myself am a visual learner, so I feel like a lot of your patients also learn when you draw for them.
Yeah.
So today I want to talk about an actual case that you've done oncoplastic reconstruction on.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready
whenever
you are.
Okay. Let's go. So this specific case that we're going to talk about today, I want you to just walk us through the particular case. Mm-hmm. Talk about the disease that she had, where it was located, and the plan for treating it.
Okay. Yeah. This is one of my favorite cases. I think I did it back in like 2012 or something in that range. And whenever I teach at a conference or present at a meeting and the topic of the split reduction comes up, this is the case that I want to show. It highlights basically all the advantages of this particular technique. So this is a young woman. She had a tumor in the upper outer part of the breast. It was seen on imaging, on mammogram, ultrasound. They biopsied it and it was found to be an invasive lobular carcinoma. That's a subtype of breast cancer because there's invasive ductal carcinoma, there's invasive lobular carcinoma, there's ductal carcinoma in situ. There are different types of breast cancers that all behave similarly and are treated similarly, but they have some unique characteristics. So hers was an invasive lobular carcinoma. It was in the upper outer quadrant. It was 2 centimeters span on MRI. So we're going into surgery thinking that the tumor is about this big, right? 2 centimeters.
Mm-hmm.
And the breast surgeon I work with wants to remove that area of disease. He wants to remove the lump. He wants to remove clean tissue around it. Almost like, imagine a Tootsie Pop, where the cancer has to be in the center of the Tootsie Pop. You can't have cancer cells in the periphery. It all has to be clean. So when it comes out, there are no tumor cells left behind. And that's how he wants to remove. So he's going to remove a large area of disease, much bigger than the 2 centimeters that you see on the MRI. This is to make sure that the margins are clean. This makes sure that when he's done with the surgery, you don't have to go back a week later and explain to the patient, you know what? We have to go back and take a little bit more tissue because we might have missed a spot. You want to get it out in one surgery.
Right.
So if you take somebody with a modest size breast and you take out a reasonable amount of tissue, you're likely to leave a dent, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where he involves me. He says that he needs somebody to reconstruct the breast once he's done doing his lumpectomy. This is the breast surgeon I'm talking about working with me as a plastic surgeon.
Okay.
And part of his strategy is to make sure he gets clean margins 360 degrees around. So what's on top?
Skin.
That's the skin. Exactly. Yeah. You got it. So he's also afraid, given the location of the tumor, that maybe there are some tumor cells in the skin itself. So he wants to take a patch of skin along with all the breast tissue behind it to make sure it all comes out one clean specimen and gets clean, free margins. So to do that, I have to modify what I'm going to do. And I created an operation we call the split reduction. We use it all the time now in patients with this kind of disease, where we're using principles of common breast reduction or mastopexy or breast lift techniques that we use all the time. It's a versatile operation. We call it one of the patterns we use, we call it a WISE pattern. And that's what I applied for this patient, is a WISE pattern. But we modify that WISE pattern, which is basically a template that's drawn on the breast before we go into surgery. We modify it so that it allows the breast surgeon to take tissue out from wherever they want to take it, to take skin over any area of the breast where there is a tumor. And I can still work around all of that and still reshape the breast so that you get a nice, beautiful outcome. And we work on the opposite breast at the same time to make sure that both breasts come out even and symmetric. Okay, so that was the plan going in, was that we were going to do a split WISE pattern reduction along with this lumpectomy. And the idea was that this would allow the breast surgeon the freedom to take as much breast tissue as they felt they needed to feel comfortable that they got clean margins in that one surgery. And that's a very, very important point, is to get clean margins in one surgery. The national average of failing to get clean margins in one surgery for just a regular old run-of-the-mill lumpectomy, which, you know, there's no plastic surgeon involved, it's just a breast surgeon trying to do a lumpectomy as well as they can on their own. The average failure rate of that is about 20%.
I did not know that.
Yeah, 20%.
That's high.
That means one out of every five women that has a lumpectomy is going to be told after surgery, a week later, they're home, they're trying to heal, they're trying to move on. They're going to be told, no, you have to go back to surgery one more time and have another lumpectomy to try to get more tissue. Or in some rare cases, maybe they're told, you need to have a mastectomy now.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to avoid all those things.
Right.
And this operation that we do particularly is good at avoiding that problem. It allows us to get clean margins in one surgery.
This kind of proves how far oncoplasty has come, right?
Or 100%.
Like reconstruction has come. Like in the past, this would not even be an option probably for somebody who has that size of or that much disease in the breast.
Yeah, I think people thought I was a crazy person when I was doing some of these reconstructions with breast surgeons. I presented these cases, and sometimes you get all these questions from the audience, like, why would you do that? What, this doesn't make any sense, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I presented to various big name teaching hospitals around the area. Mm-hmm. And even then, some of the old professors in the crowd would have very, very dubious looks on their face of, why would we do this? Why? It doesn't make any sense because it's not what they're used to doing.
Right.
But they were not really, I think, thinking outside the box to say, can we apply a unique solution to this problem to create a result that's better than what we've been doing? And I think that's what we were able to do. And over time, it's now broadly accepted. This operation is done around the world. They call it a split reduction around the world now. And it's no longer giving me raised eyebrows when I talk about it. So it's good.
Only from patients who are new to this territory. And how do you help set expectations for patients, realistic expectations for their aesthetic outcome?
You know, I can't promise the world. This is not a cosmetic surgery. This is a reconstructive surgery where there are factors at play that I have no control over. If I'm doing a cosmetic breast reduction or breast lift, I can predetermine their anatomy and what their goals are and come up with a plan that is based off of their existing anatomy. And I can give them expectations that are guided to that, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with somebody with breast cancer, okay, I can examine the person in my office. I can see what their anatomy is like, what size breast they have. Maybe if the breast is a little bit low and it needs to be lifted, things like that I can ascertain ahead of time. But what I can't ascertain is what is that breast surgeon I'm working with going to do in surgery? Because mm-hmm. that's not 100% clear even to them, right? Because they have to act on the information they get in the operating room.
Right.
They're going to take a piece of tissue out. Then they're going to x-ray it in the operating room. They're going to see, did we get all the little clips that were left behind during biopsies? Did we get clean margins all around based on the x-ray, whether they can see calcifications or not? Sometimes they'll say, well, you know, we need to take a little bit more from here or a little bit more from there. And they'll keep going until they've got everything they need and they feel comfortable. But that is not an entirely 100% predictable thing. So there are some unknowns going into surgery. And that's what I have to prepare patients for, is that, look, I have to respond to whatever is going to be delivered to me in the operating room. And I have to be flexible. I have to be able to redesign the operation if necessary on the table in the middle of the case, right? Mm-hmm. And just work around whatever problems are presented. So to guide expectations, I do say, now I can say safely, look, I've done about 1,500 of these operations. I know what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I've dealt with every possible variation of some issue in the operating room that I've come up with a solution for now, right? Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, it was very much I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to try to give you a size you're happy with. I hope there's no little flattening in the area where the disease was. Maybe I can fill it 100% and give you a nice rounded shape. You know, I try to say that I'm going to deliver as nice a result as I can, with the caveat that there may be imperfections if we can't do 100% on it. But Here's the important distinction. That breast, even with imperfections on it, is still going to be a better cosmetic result than the alternative.
Right.
Which was, the alternative was what, to do a lumpectomy and have no reconstruction? That's going to look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Or
A mastectomy,
which, you know, yes, sometimes you can get very, very nice, beautiful results, but think of how much you have to do to get there, right?
Right.
Multiple surgeries, long recoveries, sometimes hospital stays. So, and you lose all sensation to your breast.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, even the slightly imperfect breast after this approach is better than any of the alternatives. Now, having done so many of these, I think we're able to really deliver good results with minimal imperfections for the vast majority of patients. So how do I prepare expectations? I kind of say all these things, right? Which is say, look, number one, we have no choice but to do something. You cannot keep your breast as is, even if you love it as is. Something needs to be done. So what are your best options? And we go through the options. And I say, these are the outcomes you can expect for each one of these options. I would recommend this one because it's going to leave you whole. It's going to be your breast. It's going to have sensation. It's going to be shaped well. And I will give you symmetry by balancing with the other breast. All in the one operation. I think it's a win-win.
Definitely is.
So this patient that we're presenting today, she had what we thought to be 2 centimeters worth of disease on the MRI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We do the surgery. The surgeon takes out 64 grams of tissue, which is a lot of tissue if you look at the size of the breast, which is far more than most people take during a standard lumpectomy for a 2 centimeter disease. But because she had invasive lobular carcinoma, the breast surgeon, of course, recognized that sometimes when you have imaging, it underrepresents how much actual disease there is in the breast. It undercalls it. So he knew that. So he took a more generous amount of tissue. He thought maybe there's 3 centimeters of disease. Maybe there's 4 centimeters of disease. It's not going to be 2. So he took enough to clear margins, even if it was bigger than he thought, which he was able to do. Why?
Because you were there.
Because we were there to be the backup plan, right? To reconstruct after he's done. So he felt safe to do whatever he needed to do. So he took out a lot more tissue. What do you think the final pathology showed? How big do you think the tumor was?
Oh.
Original estimate was 2 centimeters. How big do you think it was?
Double size. 4 centimeters.
Triple.
Triple?
6 centimeters of disease.
Oh my gosh.
6 centimeters. Now, fortunately, the margins were all clear.
Mm-hmm.
And why were they clear? Because he took so much tissue, because he felt safe to do so.
It's confident you could.
Exactly. And so we saved this woman from a second surgery, and we saved her from an inadequate first surgery, right? Which are both important things. So she got clear margins in the one surgery, and you can see we fixed the breast up well. You can see images on the screen. Like, the breast looks nice. I lifted the other breast, made it smaller to match. So all in all, in one surgery in about 3 hours, she went home the same day. Only took Tylenol and Advil for pain, didn't really need anything else because that's what our protocol is.
Mm-hmm.
She felt like she was able to get around on her own in about a couple of days, able to drive around in a week or two, went back to work in a month, right? This is the pretty typical recovery process for this kind of surgery. For a 6 centimeter invasive lobular carcinoma, which is huge, to get clean margins in one surgery.
Right.
Yeah. So what was your question? Radiation?
Did she need radiation?
Yeah, she definitely need radiation for this type of disease. But we knew that going in. This was not an unanticipated thing, right? We knew she would need radiation. So what does radiation do to the breast? You've heard me tell people this. What do you think?
It shrinks.
How do you explain?
It shrinks the breast. It treats the breast and any kind of leftover disease, basically. But at the end of it all, it will change the breast forever.
Yes.
The skin, the tissue, everything acts differently. It ages differently. Mm-hmm. So you prepare for that by kind of making the opposite breast a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Right?
All right. You got it. You've been listening. Okay.
<That's
a lot. laughs> All right. So here are the thoughts, right? So why do people get radiation after this kind of disease, after a lumpectomy, right? Because there's still breast tissue left behind. And in this breast tissue, there's possibilities of leaving microscopic cells behind because you can't see everything when you're taking out a lump of tissue, right?
Right.
So the radiation's purpose is to basically sterilize the breast, if you will, by killing off all those remaining tumor cells, if there are any left.
Okay.
So you lumpectomy plus the radiation basically cleans the whole breast of disease. That's the concept. So without radiation, it's an inadequate operation.
Mm-hmm.
But what impact does radiation have on the breast? That's the key. So we know ahead of time that most breasts are going to shrink to a degree with radiation. And that degree is not 100% predictable. How much is it going to shrink is not 100% clear. I estimate around 10 to 15%, which to me basically guides me to say, when I'm in surgery, I'm going to try to leave the side that has the cancer a little bit bigger than the side that doesn't. I want them both to look the same, but I want one to be slightly bigger than the other so that when they radiate it and it shrinks a little bit, hopefully it matches up really well with the other side.
Right.
But we all know every single patient I've ever examined that has come through this office, having never had surgery, has what?
Asymmetry.
Asymmetry. No one's perfectly symmetric that ever comes in, right? So no one should expect to be perfectly symmetric leaving the operating room either.
Right.
Nor should they feel that they should be perfectly symmetric after radiation is done. We're trying to give good symmetry,
reasonable
symmetry, so that you can wear clothing appropriately without having difficulty finding a bra that fits or clothing that you can't mask any kind of minor asymmetry in, right? No one wants to walk around with the whole world being able to tell that one breast is bigger than the other. But of course, if there's minor asymmetries, that's easily masked for anybody, right?
Right.
So we just want you to feel like a normal person. That's really what we say. We want you to come out looking like a normal person, feeling like a normal person, and having breasts that are slightly asymmetric like a normal person.
Yeah.
So you interviewed me all this time. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Because you get to see some of the inside things that I sometimes don't, right?
Right.
I think patients sometimes feel like they open up to you a little bit more than maybe they do to me. What have you noted from patients after the surgery is done, after the radiation is complete, and we're congratulating them, say, look, all your treatments are done. Congratulations. Everything's finished. You're done with this part of the journey, at least.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see in patients at that point?
Usually patients walk through the door and they're unhappy to be here the first time they come here, which is understandable. When they leave, almost every time they say this is a bittersweet goodbye, because they've grown to just love us. They've trusted us. We've picked them up. We've held their hand, you know, we've let them cry to us, or at least me. And it's very emotional for them, because I don't think they walk into our office thinking that they'll ever have that kind of relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of my biggest joys getting out of helping breast cancer patients. You know, and even when they leave our office and you do discharge them from this treatment, that's not like the end of their journey. So they still sometimes will reach out and ask us questions about, you know, what they can expect and who they can reach out to. And we also have wonderful patients who always offer to talk to patients, future patients, mm-hmm. and explain their journey with them. And that's helped a lot of our patients, our newly diagnosed patients, and it's great. But what have I seen?
How do you think they're processing all of this now that, you know, we think it's done?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really done, is it?
It's really not done, right. No. And we don't even really know the emotional part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see it and people tell us what they experience and how they're feeling, but we haven't lived it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the best we can ever do is just kind of tell them what we've experienced and what other patients have told us, but...
Well, I think one of the good things about this is that they're forever going to have this diagnosis, right?
Right.
Okay. So you don't get rid of the diagnosis by having surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that stays with them. And so some of the emotional processing of everything that just happened to them has been delayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as they get a diagnosis...
Oh, they go through... They go through the motions.
It's a fight or flight reaction. Mm-hmm. They're right away... Most people are going to be like, what can I do to fix this? Who am I going to go see? They have a bunch of appointments, this appointment, that appointment, get opinions, second opinions. It's a fast-moving process. Okay, you have surgery scheduled, or you have, you know, this treatment scheduled, or that treatment scheduled, you need a biopsy, whatever it is, and now you have surgery. you have your surgery. Okay, now your job is to recover, so to do this, to do scar treatment. Then you're supposed to go on radiation. You go on radiation. You're supposed to go for 5-6 weeks sometimes. And then you finish all that. And then I say, okay, now that, you know, we'll do some care for the radiation injuries and whatever it is. And we'll walk you through all that. And then you come back. And it's been now 3 months since you finished radiation, 6 months since you finished radiation. I'm there to do a kind of final check. And we're thinking they're done. But of course, in their mind, most patients at that point,
it's when
things have finally started to quiet down in terms of their medical visits and interventions, that's when they are finally home alone. The friends have stopped checking in as much.
Mm-hmm.
Family has stopped checking in as much because they're kind of done.
Right.
And when you're alone in their own thoughts, that's when you start to process.
Right. That's when the emotional part starts.
Or that's when the emotional journey of this really starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to have a backup system for that. It's important to recognize that that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to explain that to patients too. It's, you know, that part of your processing comes after the surgeries and after all the treatments are done. And that's when having groups that you can join of women that have undergone similar things, and you can talk about your experiences and lean on each other for support. I think that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, the one benefit of many benefits of this surgery,
mm-hmm,
is there's not a constant daily reminder of it.
Yes.
When they're getting ready, dressing, looking at themselves in the mirror, even if they brush up against something, they have full sensation, right? If you've had a mastectomy, which it's a fair treatment for somebody who needs it,
right?
Nothing against it, but if you don't have to have a mastectomy, you're much better off doing this. But if you've had a mastectomy, your breast is numb.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes feels foreign to you. There's visible asymmetries sometimes that are very obvious, that even when you're dressing are hard to mask. So sometimes it's just a constant daily reminder of what's happened to you that you can never shake.
Right.
And that becomes even more difficult to deal with than the diagnosis itself, is the mm-hmm fact that you have to keep reliving it almost every day you look in the mirror.
Right.
Whereas if you have this type of oncoplastic approach, the breasts heal well, the scars do fade in time, the breast is soft, it feels normal, it has normal sensation, it is your breast,
mm-hmm,
and you will be accustomed to the new size and new shape, you know, matter of a few months.
Right.
You can dress appropriately, and it's not a constant daily reminder in the shower, getting dressed, out in the world, that this happened.
Right.
You can forget about it. And this is what patients have said to me, right? Is that,
oh yeah,
hey, there, sometimes I just have totally even forgotten this has happened until I get a reminder that I have to go get a mammogram or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about as big a win, I think, as you can get.
Yeah.
Until we cure breast cancer, of course.
And there's plenty of resources out there. The nurse navigators at the breast centers or for the breast surgeons always do a really good job of giving you that all ahead of time. But when you're first diagnosed, like you said, you just go through the motions and you forget everything that's told to you at that first appointment. So, you know, if you need those resources, look in the caption below. We'll link them or reach out to us and we're happy to share them. But yes, thank you for listening today and for joining us on our first episode talking about an actual patient.
Thank you, Casey.
You're welcome.